Okay, I thought you'd turned on already.
The Apostle Paul never had one of those.
So, tonight we might not have quite as many questions. You might have questions, but I'm not going to ask so many questions. If you ask a question, I don't give you candy for that. But, so, I am Pastor Friesen. I am from South Central Kansas, near Wichita, if you know where that is. It took me 13 hours to get to camp, driving if I had driven all the way through. What else do I want to tell you? My wife is here. Her name is Kay. I have 5 daughters. One of them is Bethany. She is here. Where are you, Bethany? Well, she was going to be here. Oh, she's clearing the back. Waiting. She had to sit out in the overflow. And then I have one son, and his name is Isaac. So, Isaac, I can remember your name. Right?
Yep.
All right. I just thought I'd tell you that. What else did I tell you about me? I told you a couple years ago that I never had gone to camp as a camper. That's still true, but I've been here as a speaker.
Why you came here?
Why I came? I came here to preach God's word. And I was asked not too long ago. I'm actually filling in at a church, and I'm not a full-time pastor anymore. I was, and then I taught at a Bible school. It'll be like a Bible college, Bible institute, for a number of years, and now I have kind of retired. I'm a school bus driver, and I substitute teach in the school system as well, and I have fun doing that. I have a great time. But I was asked, I said, Pastor Friesen, do you enjoy preaching? And I said, why? And he said, well, you act like you do. I said, yes, I do. But it is also a tremendous responsibility to handle God's word. There are, if I am correct, 108 campers here. Something like that. Some more came in. Somewhere around there, okay? So what I tell you, I need to make sure that I'm telling you the truth, right? The scripture says that the one who teaches has a greater accountability because of that responsibility as well. So, the theme is, well, people need the Lord. People need the Lord. And if I don't plug this thing in, it won't work. People need the Lord. But we're going to kind of take a sub-theme after that, because we're going to look at missions. People need the Lord. Missions, so going where no one has gone before. Well, we're kind of going to be in that, in the scripture. Tonight we're going to look at a man called Saul of Tarsus, and he is a changed person. He became a new person in the Lord Jesus Christ. He was changed, and we're going to look at that. And I've never done anything like this before, so let's see what happens. So you're kind of guinea pigs, so you have to. We're going to be looking, if you've got your Bible and you want to turn, we're going to be looking in Acts chapter 9. And I'm going to read just a couple of verses there, and then you can kind of follow along as I go through and tell you, hopefully I will be able to, tell you the story of Saul of Tarsus and what happened to him, what happened in his life. Acts is in the New Testament. If that helps you. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, then what?
Yeah.
Acts. Acts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then Acts. And we won't be leaving Acts chapter. I'm going to make some mention of or reference to some other scripture, but basically we will just be in the book of Acts. Now the apostle, he later became, and we'll look at this too, became the apostle Paul. So if I mess up every once in a while, it's because I'm used to saying that. He was a Jew. And when a Jew prayed, he had his head covered. So I'm wearing a thing on my head, not because I'm hot, not because I'm cold. What am I? I'm hot right now, but anyway, he would have had his head covered because he was a Jew. He prayed that way. And so we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. I'm not going to take this off. It's too hard to get back on. But we're going to ask the Lord to bless our time together. So let's pray once again before we look into God's Word. Like has been said before, let's fold our hands, close our eyes. And the only reason you really do that is so that you don't bother somebody else and that you pay attention to the prayer. Not looking around and watching everything around you. Okay? So let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to study your Word together. Guide us now as we look into your truth. May your name be glorified through all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, Acts chapter 9, it says, then Saul, still breathing threats and murders against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, those are followers of Christ, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. So, what happened? What happened is the Dr. Luke, a traveling companion of the Apostle Paul, later, or of Saul, recorded the truths in God's Word under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. He recorded the truths that we find in Acts chapter 9. He wrote about his friend Saul of Tarsus. So, if I'm Saul, I would say, I was born in Tarsus. Tarsus is a place, let me see if I can find it. If I can find where in the world. Oh, you know what? I went from being a persecutor, I went to Damascus to kill Christians, to being a missionary. That's in Damascus. It's what it looks like now, but it didn't look like when I was young. Right there is Tarsus. That's where I grew up. And if you come down here, clear down here is Jerusalem, and Damascus is way up here. So I was born here, and you know, I went down to Jerusalem to study, and I studied in the temple area there, a synagogue, with a teacher named Gamaliel. And this is kind of an important truth, because you see, Gamaliel stood up for the believers of the way, the Christians, kind of. He told the men that, can you believe, there was this crippled man, right? He was sitting at the temple gate. Peter and John, they come into the temple and they tell the man to get up and walk. And you know what he did? What do you think he did? He got up and walked. He got up and walked. Can you believe that? He had been sitting there for a long time and he didn't know how to walk. He couldn't walk. And so the leaders of the Jews, my fellow leaders, they told John and they told Peter, said, don't you preach anymore in this man's name. Don't preach in Jesus' name anymore. Well, Peter and John, they said, you know what? You tell us, is it better to obey God or is it better to obey man? it? Is it better to obey God or is it better to obey man? No, it's better to obey God. Yeah, it's better, way better to obey God than it is to obey. So what do you think Peter and John did? They obeyed God. Do you think they kept on preaching? They sure did. They kept on preaching. You wouldn't believe it. They kept on preaching and they kept on preaching. But the leaders, me, I was one of that group of leaders. We bring them in again and we tell them, said, look, you guys need to quit preaching. Well, to make a long story a little bit shorter, they didn't quit preaching. They kept right on preaching and healing and doing all kinds of things. And finally, it's like, we got to kill these guys. If we can't stop them, if they won't listen to us, we'll put them to death. Well, Gamaliel, the man that I studied under, he said, look, if this thing that they're doing, right? If this thing that they're doing is of God, you can't stop it. If it's not of God, it'll just go away. Well, that got me thinking. And I'm thinking, oh man, if it's of God, I can't stop it. Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to do my best to stop it. I started persecuting Christians in Jerusalem. I put them in jail. I mean, I beat them. I had them beat. I didn't really do the beating or anything like that. You know, I'm what they call a Pharisee. We see a Pharisee kept the law very, very, very carefully. We didn't do anything that was wrong. We never got in trouble for doing anything that was wrong. I found out later, though, God looks at the heart, and my heart wasn't right. Even though I did everything right on the outside, I didn't do much right on the inside. So anyway, we got a hold of this guy, Stephen. What do you think we did? I'll tell you what I'll do. If somebody can give me the right answer, I got a piece of candy for him here. What did we do to Stephen?
They stoned him.
You know, can you believe Stephen is faced with these people that are going to stone him? And he starts preaching? And he starts telling all about the history of Israel and how God had worked and everything from Abraham all the way down to his. And I'm thinking, well, this guy, he really knows. That's pretty good. Then he started talking about Jesus. That man that was crucified on a cross and who died, his disciples said he rose again from the dead. Can you believe such a ridiculous thing? Well, you know what? Later, I came to believe that to be true. But I'll tell you about that. But he did. They crucified him on a cross. They put him in a tomb. And his disciples were saying, also, they were preaching in the name of this Jesus who had died to take away our sin. Oh, man. I have a problem with that. How could that be? You have offer a sacrifice, an animal sacrifice. You have to offer a lamb to take away your sin. Every Pharisee knows that. But Gamaliel said, if it's of God, you can't do anything about it. If it's not of God, it'll what?
Go away.
It'll just go away. Well, when they were stoning Stephen, I was standing there. Now, the accuser has to cast the first stone. The one who is accusing is supposed to cast the first stone. So I was standing there, and so the accusers, they put their coats at my feet, and I watched this to make sure that nobody would take them or anything like that, you know. They put their coats, and they took off this coat, and they have a tunic underneath. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. And they have it underneath, and they put their coats there so they can throw those. And I'm agreeing let them go. I think this is a good thing. We get rid of Stephen, we'll get rid of a troublemaker in Jerusalem. So they stoned him. And then I went to the chief priests. You can read it there. Luke recorded it for us in the book of Acts. I went to the chief priests and said, what did it say in there? I got from them what? What did I get from them? I got letters. I got some letters from, I got these papers that said, Saul of Tarsus has permission to capture and bind any Christians in Damascus and to bring them back to Jerusalem to stand trial. So I had these letters like a man. And I go, and I'm going to go to that synagogue there in Damascus, and I'll take care of those Christians. I took care of a bunch of Christians in Jerusalem. I'll take care of those Christians in Damascus, too. Well, things didn't work out exactly the way I thought they would. And Luke recorded, he did a good job of writing it down there in the Bible. Well, the Holy Spirit showed him how to do that, you know. So it's really not Dr. Luke's word, it's what? What? Yeah, you. God's word. It's God's word. Yeah, that's right. It's God's word. And probably somebody else knew that answer too, right? But it's God's word, so it's not really just Luke's word. But what did he write? He wrote in there that the Apostle Paul, or Saul, Tarsus, he was headed for Damascus, and we're getting close to Damascus. Now, can you imagine? We're traveling along this road all the way from Jerusalem. It doesn't look very far on that map. But if you were going to walk that, which is what we did, it would take you about 2 weeks to walk that. That's a long ways to walk, isn't it? We're walking every day for 2 weeks. There were times I wished I had a camel. Well, the Bible doesn't say whether I did or whether I didn't, but really doesn't matter. I was going there, and all of a sudden, we're getting close to Damascus, and this absolutely bright light shines out of heaven. And I fell down on the ground, and everybody around me heard a noise, but they didn't understand. The voice said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who do you think that was? God? More specific than God, you're right, it was God, but more specific than God, Marilyn, I may hit you. Who was it? If he was persecuting somebody, he was persecuting who? Jesus. That's right. I was persecuting Jesus. He said, why are you persecuting me? Oh, man. Now, I'm a Pharisee, right? There was another group of religious leaders in that day. They were called Sadducees. They didn't believe in the resurrection, and they didn't believe in angels, and they didn't believe a lot of things. Like they just didn't really take God at his word like we Pharisees. Now, Pharisees, we believe in the resurrection. We believe all that. And I'm thinking, oh man, I'm hearing a voice from heaven, and it's saying, why are you persecuting me? And I know that it has to be Jesus, because he's the one that I've been putting Christians, believers in Jesus. I've been putting them where? Where have I been putting them? Yeah.
In heaven.
No, not in heaven. Well, if I kill them, I put them in heaven. That's right. Okay. I gave you that. Yeah, that's true. I gave them a shortcut, didn't I? You bet I did. Where else did I put them?
Jail.
I put them in jail. You bet. I put them in jail. And But then, what does it say? Luke wrote something that was kind of funny, I think. He said, "Why are you persecuting me?" And then I said, "Who are you, Lord?" I wouldn't know who he was. I mean, that's kind of scary. Don't you think it's kind of scary? I do. It was, yeah. It's kind of scary. "Who are you, Lord?" And then he said, verse 5, Luke writes it down there and says, "I'm Jesus whom you are persecuting. It's hard for you to kick against the goads." Yeah, I got the message on that. Because you see, Gamaliel had made that statement, and it got me thinking. If this thing is of God, what? You can't do anything about it. If it's not of God, it will just go away. So actually, while I'm persecuting, I'm studying the scripture so that I can put these Christians in their place. The goads, for those of you that don't know, a goad would be like, let's say I got this walking stick, right? And if I had a goad, I'm working oxen. You know, like they pull an implement or they pull a plow or something like that, oxen. And a goad has like a sharp piece of metal on the end of it. And I want to get that ox to go a little faster. I want to go, I poke it. Well, if you poke an ox too low, it's going to kick. And if you don't get the goad out of the way, it kicks the goad. Well, that's what God was saying to me. So you're kicking against something that's true. You're kicking against that goad, and it's pricking you, it's bothering you, it's working on you. Man, what am I going to say? Finally, I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And he told me something very simple. And you know what, boys and girls? There's something really, really important in what God told me. Now, it doesn't seem that big of a deal, but he said, go to the street, to Judas' house, go to Damascus, and, let me read what it says. I'm a little bit old and can't remember all the time, you know. "Arise, go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." Well, that's not very complicated. Just get up and go into town. That's where I was headed anyway, you know. Right. So I did. And you know the thing that's important, young people? Listen carefully. It's two words. Simple obedience. Simple obedience. Just simple obedience. Just do what you're told. So, I mean, stop and think with me a minute. If you had seen a light from heaven, and you had heard a voice from heaven, and that voice said, "I'm Jesus," would you listen? I hope so. I would hope so. I did. I went to a house, and we find out later the address of the house called the street called Straight. I think I have a picture of it. I'm not sure. All good missionaries have pictures. Oh, no, that's the temple where I studied. In Jerusalem. There are the Pharisees, yeah. We're going into Damascus there. Oh, this is cool, yeah. There's a road. There it is, right there. That's the street called Straight. Yeah, the problem, I think that picture was taken not terribly long ago. It wasn't taken when I was there. Sir?
If it's called Straight, but it's not Straight.
Well, you know what? That would be a problem, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't name it. But they called it Straight. You know, there is another meaning, though, for Straight. Think with me a minute. If you go back into the Gospels, Jesus said that if you follow your own way, the broad way leads to destruction. Okay? Wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction. He's talking about the fact if I just follow my own way, if I just follow what I want to do, if I'm going to follow the world, I'm going to follow whatever, I'm going down the road that everybody else is going. It's wide. But he said, narrow is the gate, straight is the way. Or am I getting that backwards? Do you get the idea? It can mean narrow. That's the way that leads to life. Why? Because only in the Lord Jesus Christ can I have eternal life. It's very narrow. So I went to the street called Straight. Went to Judah's house. And I stayed there. And you know, it was such a phenomenal situation. And you can read it, and maybe you want to read it later on sometime. Get your Bible and read through what I'm telling you so that you know. And you can come ask me a question about it. I'd be happy to talk to you about it. But he said, I was so overcome by all of that, I didn't eat for 3 days. I just didn't think about it. I was going in my mind, I'm going over the scripture, and I'm going over, man, who is this man, Jesus? Who is this? You know what I came to the conclusion? He's the Son of God. He's the Son of God, and he was the one who came, and he did just like the apostle said. He came to take away my sin. He died on the cross for my sin. Whoa. And I've been persecuting those people who believe in him. I've been putting them to death, and I've been putting them in prison, and I've been mistreating them terribly. There was a man that came. His name was Ananias. A man named Ananias. He kind of had an argument with God. He told me about it later. He had an argument with God about coming because he said, God told him, he said, Ananias, I want you to go to the street called Straight. There's a man there waiting for you. His name is Saul of Tarsus. And he has had a vision of a man coming and giving him sight. See, when the bright light came, I went blind. They had to lead me into town, and I'm still blind. For 3 days that I was blind. I didn't eat, and I was blind. And Ananias said, Lord, do you know who that is? You think God knew who I was? You think he knew who the Saul of Tarsus was when he was talking to Ananias?
Yep.
Sure he did. Hey, you know, God knows everything. God knows everything about you. Well, you ever think about that? Oh, yeah, well, my teacher didn't find out. God knew. Mom and Dad didn't find out. I got away with that one. You know what? I taught in a school. I had some young people like you in the school. And I had a kid ask me one time. He said, this is Mr. Friesen, not the Apostle Paul, okay? He said, Mr. Friesen, he said, how come I get caught all the time when I do something wrong? You know what I told him? Well, I asked him a question. I said, does your mother pray for you? Is there somebody praying for you? He goes, yeah, she prays for me all the time. I said, does God answer prayer? He looked at me and he goes, yeah? So, is she praying that you'll get caught if you do something wrong? Well, maybe not in those words, but yeah, she would be. I said, well, then God answered her prayer. And you got caught. Why? So you don't keep doing it over and over and over. God sees you all the time. God sees everything you do. Well, anyway, back to my story about Paul, Saul, Tarsus. So Ananias, finally he says, okay, I'll go. But you know what? God told Ananias something else. And I want to read it to you. Okay? And if you want to follow along, verse 11 and 12 talk about Ananias coming. But verse 15 is what I want to read to you. This is what Dr. Luke wrote. He wrote this about what the Lord told Ananias. It says, go, Ananias, go, for he, that's me, that's Saul, is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. But verse 16 is really what bothers me. It says, for I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. Now, I've been the one causing suffering, and Jesus is telling Ananias, I'm going to suffer. Well, that doesn't sound real good. So, Ananias came. He laid hands on me. I got my sight back. And you know what? He explained again the gospel message of the Lord Jesus Christ to me. And I said, man, I believe it. I believe it. You say, how do you know Paul said he believed it? Well, it says that he got baptized. And they weren't baptizing people that didn't believe the truth of the gospel. See, baptizing doesn't make you believe, or it doesn't get you into heaven, or it doesn't do anything like that. Baptizing just says, this one is identifying with the Lord Jesus Christ. He has put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and he is going to walk with him. I was baptized, so I believe that Jesus died on that cross for my sin. I believe that he rose again the third day. I believe that he is up in heaven and he makes intercession for me. I believe that he's coming again. I believe all of that for me. And, you know, I was pretty excited about persecuting Christians. I was pretty good. But just as excited as I was about persecuting Christians, I got excited about telling them about Jesus. So can you imagine what it was like when I walked in the synagogue? Yeah, I was a little bit late, yeah. I walked in the synagogue and those same leaders that were expecting me to come with letters from Jerusalem about persecuting Christians, I came in there telling them about Christ. Did the Christians believe in? You think they were surprised? I don't know, the Bible didn't really say, but I think they were. I think they were pretty shocked. Here comes this one who's a persecutor, and now he's preaching what he's persecuting against. I changed. I'm not the same. I'm not the same person anymore. So there was a period of time that I was living in Damascus. I was going out into the desert. I'd come back and I'd go out and study the things of Christ in the Old Testament scriptures. And find out there that he is the Lamb that is to die for the sin of the world. I find out that he is the servant who will come. And I began to open the scriptures in the synagogue. And that was like our church, kind of. I was opening the scriptures in the synagogue and telling them about Jesus. Well, you know how things go. Just like I got upset and was persecuting the Christians, they started persecuting me. And I got wind of this plot. They were planning to kill me. They were just waiting for me to leave the city by the city gate. They were going to catch me. So they would watch the gate day and night, and then they would... How do you think? Well, maybe I'll put it this way. Has anybody read Luke's account? And you know how I got out of that city? How in the world did I get out of that city?
Angels guided you.
No, it was more humiliating than that. I snuck out. Nope, I didn't snuck out either. Huh? Who told you? I'm going to try to get it back there, but I bounced it off the barrel's head. Whoops. Boy, that was way off.
A bucket.
A bucket. No, they took me to the city wall, and can you imagine a dignified Pharisee like me climbing in a basket, and they let me down over the wall? It was cramped in what they came. Look at me. You take a pretty big basket, don't you think?
Yeah.
I think so. I was kind of worried, too. The bottom would drop out. Hopefully that basket did. It's a long ways down on that wall. And they let me down over the city wall. And I went from there to Jerusalem. And you would think that the Christians would be all happy that this guy who used to persecute Christians has been preaching in Damascus, and he's not persecuting Christians anymore. But you know what? They didn't. They knew that God could change life, but they were kind of skeptical. And probably rightly so. They didn't know if I was telling the truth or not. So, a man named Barnabas, he said, you know what, I believe you, and why don't you just come, I will introduce you to all those who are the apostles there, I will introduce you to the church there, I will introduce you to all those people, and I began preaching the gospel there as well. I began preaching and telling them about Jesus. Yet the day came when they didn't want me in Jerusalem either. And Dr. Luke writes something that's pretty interesting. He says that when I finally left Jerusalem, and you remember Tarsus up there on that map that I showed you? Yeah? I went from Jerusalem to the coast over there. I remember the city. I think it was like Caesarea something or other. Anyway, it was over there on the coast. And I went over there, and then I went to Tarsus. And you know what Dr. Luke wrote? He said, and then there was peace in Jerusalem. I was stirring up trouble for the Jews, man. I was preaching the gospel, but I went back home. And I preached the gospel there, but I learned a lot from God while I was there as well. And you know, young people, we would do well to what? Study the scripture and to learn about the Lord Jesus and to know that what he tells us, that God loves us. You know, it's amazing when you think about the fact that I persecuted Christians, Saul of Tarsus persecuted Christians, but God cared enough about him to save him so that he would know the truth of God's word. But not just that. He changed my life so completely that he made me a missionary. You know what a missionary is? Know what a missionary is? A missionary is what? It's somebody who goes from one place to someplace else and tells others about the Bible, about Jesus, about the Lord Jesus. Do you have to go to a foreign country to be a missionary?
No.
No? You know what? There are some missionaries in this room. They went from their house to somebody else's house in the same town, probably on the same street, and invited them to church, invited them to kids club, invited them to camp, and told them about Jesus. That kind of makes me a missionary too, doesn't it? Well, the Apostle Paul, later, my name was changed to Paul. I became a missionary. We're going to find out about that. I don't think I'm going to look like this the next time we talk, though. I probably put some clothes on that are more like yours. Yeah, it's hot. But, you know, I hope, young people, that you get the message of the changed life that Saul of Tarsus experienced. There's something else that I think is very important, and I'm going to take that off now. I think it's very, very important for us to understand that while Saul's life was changed because God loved and cared about him, he learned about the Lord Jesus, he believed in the Lord Jesus, but not all of us have the same experience or the same circumstances. Mr. Friesen, Pastor Friesen, did not see a big bright light from heaven. I didn't hear a voice, but I did read God's word. And it was through his word that he spoke to my heart. And you know, the same thing will happen to you. And your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is not dependent upon the prayer that you pray. It's not dependent on it. It's dependent upon what you believe in your heart. With the mouth, confession is made concerning your salvation, but it's with the heart that we believe. I believe it. It's true for me. Saul of Tarsus believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and he saved him. The same thing can happen to you, and the same change in life. Oh, you may not go from being a persecutor of Christians to a missionary, but you can go from being a person who is lost and on his way to an eternity without Christ in hell to being a missionary. You can be a good person. Let's leave the shoes alone. Okay? And if you have a question about that, ask your counselor. Ask me. I'm going to be around. I enjoy camp. I love camp. I love being around camp and campers. And I'll be around. But ask somebody. If you have a question in your own heart, in your own mind, about your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you ask. And we'll answer from the Word of God. Let's pray together, okay? Father, we thank you for the time you've given us. Thank you for the attention of the young people this evening. And we pray that you would work in each of our hearts, not only tonight, but throughout the rest of our time together here at camp. And Lord, we praise you for the story, the truth of the Apostle Paul, who was Saul of Tarsus, who you changed for your glory. Thank you. And we praise you for it. May you change hearts this week. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.